You're listening to The Leonard Lopate Show on AM 820 and 93.9 WNYC.
Thomas Keller's restaurants, The French Laundry and Per Se, have transformed American haute cuisine. He is the only American-born chef to have two restaurants simultaneously earn the highest Michelin rating, 3 stars. He's also the author of 4 cookbooks, the latest of which is Ad Hoc at Home from Artisan Books. It's a great pleasure to welcome him back to our show. Hi.
Oh, thank you, Leonard. It's great to be here.
Now, this is your 4th cookbook after the French Laundry cookbook, Bouchon and Under Pressure. That one about the practice of sous vide cooking, which has been somewhat controversial in New York City.
Oh, it has. Under Pressure was written for The Professional from the point of view of our restaurants, French Laundry and Per Se. What I mean by that is we do a la minute cooking using the sous vide technology, where sous vide traditionally has been used in preparing food for extended shelf life. This, we cook it more at the moment, as you would in an a la carte restaurant.
Well, every chef I've spoken to said, well, if you cook correctly, there shouldn't be any problem. And most people who wouldn't cook correctly wouldn't be using sous vide anyway.
Well, that's correct. But the New York City Health Department, we've worked closely with them, developed a HACCP plan for a restaurant, one that they have adopted for the criteria of approving restaurants that are allowed to use sous vide cooking. And, of course, we're one of those restaurants that have been approved by the New York City Health Department to use sous vide cooking.
Do you see your books as being something of a record of the food that you've served at your various restaurants over the years?
Well, exactly, and I think a lot of cookbooks are that. Certainly, the French Laundry is that. It's a block of time in the history of the French Laundry when we produced that cookbook. Of course, food evolves, and our food has evolved greatly in the past 10 years since that book was written.
And can I get any of the same dishes if I go to the French Laundry now, if I could get in anyway?
Oh, certainly. Yeah, you could get in, and certainly you can get some of the same dishes, the coronets in there, some of the classic recipes and preparations from the French Laundry, the oysters and pearls, the panna cotta, the coffee and donuts for dessert. There's many dishes in there that are still represented at the French Laundry, but even those have evolved over time. Beet and leek is a lobster recipe that I was doing when I had my restaurant here, right up the street in Raquel. And of course, I've been doing it ever since, and it's evolved, and still in the French Laundry cookbook, it's there, but it's evolved since then.
Do you keep those on the menu because you just love them, or because if you take them off, your customers are going to start complaining?
Well, the menus at French Laundry and Per Se change every day. So in the case of the menu, there's only one lobster dish or one crustacean dish, really, because sometimes we'll even change the type of crustacean.
They reflect the changes in the market each
day? The change in the market, the change of the year, the time of the year. So beet and leek may come on the menus at specific times, but it's not always there.
It's interesting to note that you haven't written a Per Se cookbook.
Not yet. Well, one reason I haven't, it would be an evolution of the French Laundry, because the food and the culture and the philosophy of the French Laundry is so relevant at Per Se as well.
Well, Per Se is a wonderfully evocative name, and then this book is named after Ad Hoc, also an evocative name. This is a family-style restaurant in Yountville, California. Is it called Ad Hoc because it was meant to be temporary?
Exactly. When we purchased the property 3.5 years ago, we had really no intention of opening another restaurant. The property that we purchased for other reasons came with a restaurant. So therein lies So what are we going to do with it? We have a restaurant. It's practically brand new. We have to open something, and I wasn't really prepared from a conceptual point of view to do the hamburger restaurant, which I've been trying to do for the past 16 years. So we put in the family-style restaurant, which seemed to be very simple, something that we were able to execute pretty quickly in both concept and format, and opened in 5.5 months with a very minimal investment. And it became so popular that it was difficult to close.
So a family-style restaurant means that you put a plate in the middle of the table and people dig in for themselves.
Well, exactly. You know, they engage in the service themselves, not only with the food, but with the wine, with all the beverages, but also because there again is only one menu. There are no choices. So it's a 4-course menu where you come in and you just sit down and you eat. So we've taken away the anxiety of having to order something, but also because it is, in the pure definition of a family-style restaurant. And I think most families, I know when I grew up and probably yourself, didn't have a menu when you went. Your mother didn't prepare a menu for you when you went home and say, here, what would you like to eat tonight? You ate what what your mother cooked for you.
She and just had to be concerned that there were so many of us and each of us had a different food taste.
Right.
So we were all complaining.
So very, very, very minimal kinds of food, right?
Because the food at Ad Hoc isn't considered haute cuisine, does that mean this cookbook is the most accessible to home cooks?
Well, I think so. Certainly that I think from its format and concept, I think it is. There are dishes on there in the book that people have reference points to. Beef stroganoff, for example, or fried chicken, for example. Bread pudding, things like that, that people can say, okay, yeah, I know a little bit about that. I think we take it a little further. We want to make sure that people understand the process. I mean, no matter what kind of cooking you're doing, there's a process involved. And to really enjoy the process is half of the battle, you know, half of the success of the recipe.
And you include photographs that demonstrate how to do things like cut up a chicken, how to tie up a roast, some basic techniques. Can a beginner learn to cook from this book?
Well, you know, it's a good question. Can a beginner learn? I think a beginner can learn how to cook from this book, certainly.
Do you think enough people don't know how to do those things?
It's hard for me to say. I don't know enough people who cook at home, but I think that there's great value in the book. Some of the light bulb moments, we have a sections in there that are called light bulb moments, you know, how to identify how much salt or get used to how much salt you're picking up with your fingers, you know, putting a damp towel underneath your cutting board so it doesn't slip, you know, some really basic stuff so people can really learn how we in professional kitchens, how we organize ourselves, how we cook. I think that's a really important topic.
And you even include basics like how to make your own mayonnaise or a roux or a stock or court bouillon, a sachet, mm-hmm. pasta dough, things like that. Again, things that most people just simply buy in the store and assume will do just as well.
Well, I think the convenience foods and certainly today in the marketplace are so many wonderful convenience foods out there. I think that this is about the process of cooking and embracing that process and enjoying the process. I think that's the most important thing. To make your own pasta dough, do you really need to make your own pasta dough today? No, there's some great pastas that are produced out there, but can you enjoy the process? I think that's the question you want to ask yourself and be able to make your own pasta dough, find a certain gratification and satisfaction in the same way that I do when I do those things.
Under basics, you also include melted onions, an ingredient which appears in many of your recipes. What is that and how is that made?
Well, it's just, you know, it's very, very simple. Sliced onions cooked down with either with some type of fat, either an oil or butter until when you say melted, there's no resistance when you taste them. They're extremely soft, and they could go from melted to blonde, which is no color whatsoever, to caramelized color, you know, what we're all used to, which is a basis primarily for onion soup, if you want to make onion soup, caramelizing onions.
My guest is Thomas Keller, whose latest book, a gorgeous book with lots of photographs, is called Ad Hoc at Home, Family Style Recipes. It's published by Artisan Books, and we have included a few of the recipes on our show page, but without the pictures, unfortunately. But if you want to check some of them out, you can go to WNYC.org. You open the book with the last meal that you cooked for your father. Why did you want to begin the book with that meal?
Well, because I think, you know, one of the things that we forget when we're eating is that it's really a social occasion and a family occasion where you can get together. And cooking is about nurturing at the end of the day, whether it's, you know, you have to eat something because you have to sustain your energy or really wanting to give somebody something. And so I wanted to make the point about that. It was a sheer coincidence that my father passed away when we started writing the book. Obviously, that wasn't something in the forefront of my mind.
But you hadn't had much of a relationship with him when you were a kid.
No.
So this was kind of a reuniting experience as well.
Well, yes, in a way. I mean, I'd been reunited with my father for quite a long time, since I was in my early 20s, but certainly when I was a youngster growing up as a young boy into my high school, my school days, I didn't have a relationship with my father, and it wasn't until I was in my early 20s that I reached out to him to rekindle that relationship, and only since I moved to California did it really become a very, very strong relationship, the point where he actually moved to California and lived next door to me, and then, of course, had a horrific accident a year before he passed away, and it was really a moment for me where having to take care of a parent, one that was disabled, and making sure that that he had everything he needed was was really a life-changing experience. And then just cooking for him, and I cooked for him many times. And this particular Sunday, he wanted to have barbecue chicken and some mashed potatoes and strawberry shortcake. And I saw some wonderful collard greens at the market, so I chose those as the vegetable. And we had a wonderful Sunday evening on the back porch of my house.
And you list the ingredients for the whole meal in the order in which they'll be used. So it goes something like bacon, collard greens, butter, potatoes, strawberry, sugar, chicken, etc. Not the way we normally see it in a cookbook, but the way that you would logically organize yourself in putting together a meal like this.
Exactly. Since the collard greens were going to take the longest to cook, that's what I began first. Of course, putting the potatoes on to cook while I was cleaning the strawberries and marinating them, and then finally the chicken was the easiest part because that's something you just put on the grill.
Now you include some pretty basic dishes like roast chicken, beef stew, hamburgers, poached salmon, even a grilled cheese sandwich. How do these recipes for these standard things differ from the kind of basic recipes we find in The Joy of Cooking or one of the other cookbooks of that sort?
It's a good question. I'm not sure. I don't know The Joy of Cooking intimately, so it's hard for me to answer the question. But you know, we're talking about, yes, basic cooking here. A roast chicken is a real basic process. And what's great about this roast chicken is it's cooked in one pot. And, you know, you're cooking with all the vegetables. And something that I really enjoy doing when I'm cooking at home, whether it's for myself or Laura and I or a group, is cooking things in one pot. So roasting a chicken with all the vegetables, putting it in the oven, you've really reduced the workload to minimal, and I like that kind of thing.
Do you use the same kinds of techniques at Ad Hoc that you use at the other restaurants? For example, you talk about searing beef with a blowtorch before you roast it, or using parchment lids for pots.
Yeah.
Not the sort of thing that we usually associate with home cooking.
Well, you know, I think the blowtorch technique is a wonderful technique, and people can really learn from that because it starts the Maillard browning or the caramelization of the beef before you put it in the oven. Then it also allows us to cook the beef at a very, very low temperature, resulting in uniformity in the cooking. And with that, I think it's a great technique. Parchment lids is something. Back to the roast beef. That's not a technique we use at the French Rondy or at Bouchon because we don't serve prime ribs at those restaurants. But the parchment lid is something that is universal. Mm-hmm. And that allows, what that does is it allows a certain amount of evaporation to occur, but at the same time making sure that you maintain the moisture on the product that you're braising.
You have a chapter called Becoming a Better Cook. What are the most important things that a home cook should know to become better?
Well, I think just organization. We talk about organization all the time, cleanliness all the time, repetition all the time.
And you say buying better ingredients.
Well, buying better.
Is that a problem?
Well, it depends on where you're from. I mean, certainly we're sitting in New York City where there's some of the best ingredients in the world, or in our country come to. I come from Northern California.
Where there are the best. You go to the local supermarket right. And you get, even the local supermarket, you get better celery than you get in all but the best shops in
right.
New York.
So I think we're a bit spoiled, but there's a large part of our country that doesn't have some of the quality ingredients that we have. So it's really about creating relationships with the people that are bringing you those products, and whether it's the produce manager at your local grocery store and asking him for better products and continuing to support better products. And I think that's really something that we can all have an impact on.
And that's something that chefs do. They develop some kind of relationship with their suppliers.
Yeah. Well, when you think about cooking, it's a simple equation. Whether you're cooking at the French Laundry level or you're cooking at Ad Hoc level, it's a simple equation. It's all about product and execution. So we're always striving to resource better products. And resourcing better products, again, you know, I'll speak to this again, is establishing relationships, establishing bonds with our producers to make sure that they understand what we're looking for, the quality of what we're looking for, the standards of what we're looking for.
We earlier had a discussion about whether genetically modified foods should be shunned or not.
Mm-hmm.
And my guest felt that we were being silly in not eating those things. What is your feeling?
It's a good question. It's something that I don't think about a lot because all of our foods are coming from small producers, small gardens, small farms. We really are working very closely with the sustainable agriculture, sustainable products. But, you know, in a way, that's an elitist attitude as well, and one that is quite expensive when you think about it. I mean, our artisanal products are going to cost more, so we have to really be able to support those artisans. The question is, how do you feed the world? How do you feed the billions and billions of people in the world? And of course, looking into the future, how are you going to feed the even more people in the future with less opportunities to grow things?
Alice Waters, who's been called an elitist more than once, says that it's not elitism if you buy good food, but you don't spend as much money on some of the other things that you might splurge on.
Well, it's true, but I think it's an elitist approach, somewhat of an elitist approach, because there's you don't have the opportunity. Not everybody has the opportunity to buy those kinds of products.
This is a gorgeous book, and I always wonder about cooking from a book like this. I'm afraid to open it up near the stove because I know I'm going to spill something on it.
Well, I think that's okay. It's a book is something that should be worn, should be used. A cookbook certainly should have stains. I mean, it adds to the character of the book in many ways, as some of the recipes add character to the food.
I'm sure that when you first took over the French Laundry, you thought, well, this is what I'm going to be doing, and that's all I'll be doing for a long time. It became a huge success. The next thing you knew, you had Bouchon Bakery at Hock in Yountville, per se, here in New York, Bouchon and Bouchon Bakery in Las Vegas and Beverly Hills. You're not spending as much time in any one kitchen these days, I suspect.
You're absolutely true. It's absolutely true. I'm not spending as much time in the kitchen, and I think that the idea of being at the French Laundry at one point in my life was certainly true. The opportunities and the genesis of other restaurants, the opportunities for other restaurants, and then certainly the genesis for restaurants that are in Yountville are somewhat different than the genesis for the restaurants or the ideas for the restaurants here in New York or Las Vegas or even in L.A. And I think that, being in this generation of chefs, we have looked at things a little differently and started to redefine what a chef does. In the last generation, there was, a chef was in one restaurant, one kitchen with one menu.
Didn't have a line of dinnerware. Didn't have his own line of wine.
Well, not only that, but I think today the public demands more of its chefs, and there are more opportunities for its chefs. And trying to navigate through those opportunities and try to choose the ones that are going to have the biggest impact, not necessarily on me, but on the team, on the chefs, giving opportunity to other team members. Jeffrey Cerciello, who's the chef at Bouchon, for example, who helped write the Bouchon cookbook, or Ad Hoc, for example. Ad Hoc was David Cruz, our chef there. The opportunity came to write a new book, and David was the obvious choice to collaborate on this book. So giving him the opportunity to help write a cookbook when maybe he never would have had the opportunity prior to that is part of the reason that I embrace these new opportunities.
Just one more thing. We've been hearing about restaurants being hurt a bit by the economic downturn. When you're as successful as the French Laundry or Per Se, is that as big a problem?
It certainly is. Certainly here in New York, where we were hit really hard, the financial industry was hit extraordinarily hard, and a lot of we have a private dining element at Per Se, and quite large. The clientele base for our private dining was primarily the financial industry, and of course, when the crisis happened, we lost all of that. So we had to try to figure out ways to generate new interest in our private dining restaurant, in our private dining and private dining rooms Per Se, which was difficult. And still today, we're still trying to solve and correct the problem. Las Vegas, a lot of discretionary income being spent in Las Vegas. Of course, that was lost. In Napa Valley, we've been somewhat insulated, but certainly we've also felt the downturn there.
Any possibility that we'll get a version of Ad Hoc here in New York?
That's a good question. People always ask me to open about Ad Hoc, and therein lies what we just talked about being the modern chef and all of a sudden being expected to stay in the kitchen but having these opportunities to open more restaurants.
Well, I suspect there are a number of opportunities to rent restaurants these days or spaces because so many of them, unfortunately, are going under.
You're absolutely true there. Ad Hoc has been a phenomena in Yonville. It certainly has some legs and some ability to grow. At this point, I haven't really looked into opening up another Ad Hoc yet.
Meanwhile, we have this cookbook, so we can do it at home, called Ad Hoc at Home, family-style recipes. Thank you so much for being with us again, Thomas Keller. The book, by the way, is published by Artisan.
Always a pleasure. Thank you, Leonard.